Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. So, as Fox said, I'm going to be talking about Medicare Part D plan optimization, the need for an annual checkup. I'm an assistant professor, actually an associate professor now, at the University of Pacific School of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. Forgot about tenure, right? So, again, like the other speakers, I also have no relationships to disclose. Let's start with Medicare Part D and talk a little bit about the intent. As most of you might know, plans are offered through private insurance companies with Medicare Part D. And the intent was, because of this, competition would actually drive down prescription drug prices and therefore assist beneficiaries in lowering their out-of-pocket cost. Now, if you're a Part D program or a plan sponsor that offers a Part D benefit, you can offer up to 3 plans in every one of the regions. The entire country is actually broken down into 34 regions, and every region can have a variety of different plans. In addition, each company can determine their formulary and restrictions with certain requirements. They have to cover at least 2 drugs in all pharmacological classes. There are certain pharmacological classes in which all the medications have to be covered. So there are some criteria that CMS makes each plan adhere to. In addition, the plan actually has some latitude in terms of determining their cost-sharing structure, whether they charge a deductible or not, what the monthly premium is, copay amounts. But again, it has to be at least as good as something called the Medicare Standard Benefit. And it can be far better than that, but usually you pay more for an enhanced plan. Now, with beneficiaries, all Medicare beneficiaries have actually an open enrollment period. And prior to 2011, this open enrollment period was between November 15th and December 31st. This was the window during which all Medicare beneficiaries could actually sign up for a new plan that would go into effect starting January 1st of the next year. Just last year, they actually moved up the open enrollment period. It's now October 15th until December 7th, so we're actually in the middle of the open enrollment period now. And the reason they did that was they wanted to ensure that all beneficiaries would receive their new plan enrollment prior to the start of the new year. Okay. Here's the challenge. Do we have too much choice, or do Medicare beneficiaries have too much choice? Depending on what region you live in, there's between 30 to 50 plans. Many beneficiaries have to choose from all these myriad of different prescription drug plans to identify the one that best suits their needs. So is too much choice an issue? There's also a lot of confusion among beneficiaries. Each year, beneficiaries are confronted with a variety of different things. Number one, many plans are canceled. So although they're in a plan this year, that plan may no longer be offered next year. There's sometimes new plan offerings. A brand new Part D plan sponsor may offer a plan in their region. Benchmark plan changes. So for those of you who might not be familiar, benchmark plans are basically plans that fulfill certain criteria so that they have to offer a minimum basic benefit and their premium has to be below the regional benchmark threshold. And if you are a benchmark plan, what that means is CMS can randomly assign those individuals that have Medicare and Medicaid into those plans. But benchmark plans change each year as well. So you might have these dual eligible beneficiaries that are switching in and out of plans. There's changes in existing plan formularies, and of course, plans are also provided the opportunity to change their cost-sharing structure. Because of all of this, the analogy I make with Medicare Part D is it's like an onion, right? The more layers you peel, the more you want to cry. So what does this all lead to? The big take-home point is the opportunity cost, right? What is the consequence of failing to evaluate your Part D plan on an annual basis? So now I want to talk about sort of how we answered that question, if you will. So our objective was we longitudinally examined the relationship between Part D standalone prescription drug plans, okay, so just plans that offer only a prescription drug benefit, an individual subsidy status, and the number of standalone prescription drug plans and benchmark plans in California between 2008 and 2012. How we did this was we actually had a series of 47 different community outreach events, and you can see in red all of the different cities that we went to. And these events were held throughout Central and Northern California. So what we did was we trained a cadre of student pharmacists in all the nuances of Medicare Part D, and then they were deployed in all these different cities to actually assist Medicare beneficiaries with their Part D plan so that we can optimize their Part D plan and thereby minimize their out-of-pocket cost. In total, during these 5 years, we assisted 1,578 beneficiaries with their Part D plan. You can see that about 62% had a PDP. The remainder had an MAPD. Now, if you want to ask about how this looks like with the national average, well, the national average says about 75% of Medicare beneficiaries are on a PDP. 25% in our MAPD, but if you look at specifically California, the Medicare Advantage plans have a much greater market penetration in California. It's almost 40% of all Medicare beneficiaries in California are in an MAPD, largely because of Kaiser. Ultimately, when we were assisting these beneficiaries, we actually collected a series of data from them. We got from the Medicare website using the Plan Finder tool whether or not they had a subsidy, so we got their subsidy status. We also recorded the cost data for the beneficiary's current plan, and then we also recorded the cost data for the lowest cost plan based on their prescription medications and a series of preferences, for instance, if they like to go to a particular pharmacy. But there were other interventions that we provided as well. Not only did we provide the Part D plan assistance, but many Medicare beneficiaries, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, don't know that they may potentially qualify for the low-income subsidy. Right? So they might not qualify for Medicaid, they might have slightly higher income or assets, but they can still qualify for additional governmental assistance. So what we would do is we would ask them a series of questions, and if they potentially qualified, we would actually go to the Social Security website and apply on their behalf. In addition, since they came with all their medications, and these are pharmacy students, and these interventions were conducted under the supervision of a licensed pharmacist, we would do a comprehensive, full-blown medication evaluation. So we would evaluate the medications for therapeutic duplication, unnecessary medications, any severe medication-related problem. And we actually found that 1 in 5 individuals that we assisted had a severe medication-related problem. We would then go ahead with their permission and follow up with their prescriber and inform them of our findings. Our data collection tool, so we use a standard data collection tool. This was all approved by the university's institutional review board. We collected, again, demographic information about the individuals, their subsidy status, benchmark plan offerings that were offered in California that year, and also the plan cost data. But ultimately, really what we wanted to look at was this opportunity cost. So how did we define opportunity cost? Very simple. Basically, we said, based on your medications, if you remained in your current plan, what was going to be the cost of that plan in the upcoming year? Versus what was the cost of the lowest cost plan in the upcoming year. Here's some of our demographic data from the beneficiaries. And you can see for each year what the breakdown is. And in the last column is basically our aggregate data. So you can see that we had roughly 58% of all beneficiaries that we assisted were females. You can see the age breakdown. Our beneficiary population is very similar to that of the overall Medicare population with a couple of glaring differences. If you look, we have a disproportionately higher number of dual eligible beneficiaries, and that's because we specifically targeted many of these outreach events to this underserved population, many of whom can't speak English and are from racial ethnic minority groups. So we wanted to make sure that they got some assistance. In addition, you can see on average they were taking about 5 prescription medications a month, very similar to national averages, and especially the study that was done by Newman and Kubansky in Health Affairs, which reported that most Medicare beneficiaries take about 5 medications a month. What did we find? This is our aggregate data. So this is the potential opportunity cost of remaining in your same Part D plan in the upcoming year. If you look at the first row, potential opportunity cost being 0, what this means is that their current plan was actually going to remain the lowest cost plan the upcoming year. Okay? That's ideal. But you can see when you look at the entire patient population, that was only the case for 20% of all Medicare beneficiaries. That means 80% could have potentially saved some money by switching their Part D plan. And if you're wondering on average how much that was, you can see it was about $606, which with a huge standard deviation because the cost savings were positively skewed. But then we broke it down further. We wanted to look at potential cost savings between those who had a subsidy versus those who didn't. So if you look at non-subsidy status, so these are individuals who don't have the low-income subsidy, nor do they qualify for Medicaid. Okay? Only 11% of them were actually in the lowest cost plan if they didn't switch. So almost 90% or 9 out of 10 Medicare beneficiaries could have saved money if they did not qualify for a subsidy. And on average, you can see the cost savings of $640. Here's this broken down in terms of subsidy. You can see what the average cost savings were for individuals that actually qualified for a subsidy as a function of benchmark plan offerings in California. Now, what about these individuals that have a subsidy? So again, these are people that are basically at or below 150% of the federal poverty line. And again, CMS randomly assigns them to a benchmark plan. And all that means is basically they're going to have a $0 monthly premium. So you would think that most of these people are going to be in the lowest cost plan. Well, actually, only 3 out of 10 subsidy recipients were actually in the lowest cost plan. So even if you're a dual eligible beneficiary, it's still imperative that they reevaluate their Part D plan. And the reason this is the case is because CMS randomly assigns them into a Part D plan without actually doing patient-centered assignment. They don't take into account the specific medication mix that that patient's on. You can see that the average cost savings for dual eligible beneficiaries, or those who had the low-income subsidy recipient, was almost $600. Obviously, these people have limited income. They could potentially save $600 by optimizing their Part D plan. Pretty significant. So what's the conclusion? Conclusion is, you can see that there's been a plan reduction in terms of plan offerings in California. At its peak, we had in the mid-50s in California. For the last couple of years, we're down to low 30s. Okay? Despite the decrease in plan offerings, there still remains a great number of beneficiaries who actually can save money by reevaluating their Part D plan on an annual basis. And if you're a beneficiary or a beneficiary advocate, the one thing I try to tell them, it is imperative, regardless of whether or not they qualify for the subsidy, to make sure that you have an objective, unbiased resource that reevaluates your Part D plan, because by doing so, you can minimize their out-of-pocket costs and therefore decrease cost-related medication non-adherence. Thank you very much. Yes?
We are trained pharmacy students are the only people I've ever heard of who were even able to determine which was the optimal plan for an individual, including doctors and physicians and attorney relatives of elderly beneficiaries. No one else can figure out which is the optimal plan for an individual patient. I've never heard of anyone else who can.
Yeah, it's really a shame because The Medicare benefit is so complicated, unlike any other insurance benefit. I mean, it has four different levels and different cost-sharing structures, and there's a sea of plans, so it's a challenge for sure. But thank you. Yes?
Right. So
sure.
Let me understand.
Sure.
Let's say you're an Anthem plan.
Sure.
And you want to activate the Medicare Part D. Don't you have to go in Anthem plan?
If
can you go in United Healthcare or WellCare?
Right.
And the reason they don't is because they don't want to flip the physician.
No. So this is different. So what you're talking about are Medicare Advantage plans. Okay. We were specifically focusing on just standalone Part D plans, which are added with original Medicare. So that doesn't change your prescriber. If you have original Medicare and you're going to your doctor and then you want to add a standalone Part D plan, you don't have to switch providers. What you're talking about specifically are like the MAPDs in which you have a restricted provider network. Right. We look specifically at PDPs just for that reason. Yes.
One more question.
Sure.
So do you have a guide or a website for state machines, or how do they determine?
Yeah. So what we do is we actually use the proprietary tool that was created by Medicare. It's called the Medicare Plan Finder tool. The problem is not very easy to use. There's several different layers, hyperlinks.
Well, the students are good.
Right. And that's, yes.
Well, patient medications keep changing, and the plans keep changing. So you have moving targets on both sides. So even if you have one point in time where you can figure it out, 6 months later, it doesn't apply anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's one of the challenges. I agree. Thank you all.